Well, as you just heard from Daniel Levy there, it's possible, although very unlikely, that President Obama could conclude his 8 years in office by officially recognizing Palestine. But what are some of the other ways he'll exercise his power in the waning days of his presidency? It's something we're going to be looking at over the next couple of weeks. And we begin today with a look at his power to pardon people accused or convicted of a federal crime. Activists who support whistleblowers like former NSA contractor Edward Snowden and former Army intelligence analyst and private Chelsea Manning are making a push to convince the president to grant pardons before he leaves office. President Obama was asked about pardoning Snowden, and he had this to say to Germany's public broadcaster ARD and the weekly news magazine Der Spiegel earlier this month.
I can't pardon somebody who hasn't been, gone before a court and presented themselves. And so that's not something that I would comment on at this point. I've said in the past that I think that Mr. Snowden raised some legitimate concerns.
Well, those aren't encouraging words for champions of a pardon for Edward Snowden. But the president also recognizes the legitimate concerns, as he says, and the policy changes that Snowden's leaks have brought. And it hasn't deterred those who say that Obama can send important messages by pardoning Snowden or granting clemency to Chelsea Manning. Kenneth Roth is executive director of Human Rights Watch, and he's one of them.
Snowden did a tremendous service to us. He revealed a massive invasion of our privacy, one that was not justified by its ostensible fight against terrorism. It was not supervised appropriately by courts. And indeed, there have already been reforms enacted because of Snowden's disclosure. For example, the government's mass collection of our so-called metadata, that is all the information about whom you email, whom you call, it had been just collecting that in its computers. It stopped doing that and now has to ask a judge to ask the phone company or the internet company to reveal much more targeted information. That's the way it should be. There have been other reforms about the court that oversees this surveillance. So now we have the opportunity to present counterarguments. It used to just make decisions on its own after hearing from the government. So as the president indicated, there were some real value in what Snowden did. Under these circumstances, the targeted nature of the disclosure and the service provided, I think Snowden should be pardoned.
The next question you already know is coming, which is that Edward Snowden did break the law, that pardoning him prospectively or branding these disclosures, as much as they did lead to reforms, did put sensitive secrets at risk, and that the message to the next person with access to sensitive information and an axe to grind is pull the trigger.
Well, it's important to note that Snowden didn't just randomly disclose secret information. He was a classic whistleblower. He had evidence of government wrongdoing. There are procedures for whistleblowers to pursue, but he saw what had happened to his predecessors and a number of people who had tried to disclose similar information about this massive invasion of Americans and others' privacy were actually prosecuted. They tried to follow the rules, and it didn't work for them. So Snowden recognized that there were no usual options. His choice was either to stay silent in the face of this massive governmental wrongdoing or to make a revelation in as responsible way as he could. And that's what a whistleblower is. So this is not legitimizing any disclosure of secret information. This is legitimizing somebody who did us a public service.
There's another view of this, which I get that temporarily is not going to happen because the clock is ticking on the final days of the Obama presidency. But I've had this conversation with lots of people, and we've reached consensus that the ideal situation for Snowden is to be convicted of what he did under the Espionage Act and then to have his sentence commuted, to not be punished as a recognition for the value of his disclosure, but to have the crime and the violation of the law on his record.
But what you're talking about is potentially a plea bargain. And the other thing that is sometimes mooted is the idea of Obama saying that he would not object to some other country other than Russia granting Snowden asylum.
Germany, for instance.
Right. Yes. And undoubtedly, Snowden would rather go to some Western country rather than have spend the rest of his life in Moscow. But the point is that something should be done by President Obama before he leaves office in order to strike the right balance. To charge Snowden with espionage actually precludes him from making a public interest defense. That's one of the terrible things about the espionage charge, is that you're not allowed to argue to the jury, I did this for a good reason. I did this for the public interest. I revealed wrongdoing. That's not allowed. The crime is simply revealing national security information. And so under those circumstances, Snowden can't really risk going to court. He needs some presidential agreement in advance to recognize the public service that he did.
Let's take this opportunity to talk about other potential pardons. Another high-profile case is Chelsea Manning, who is in federal prison in the military brig for disclosing lots and lots of classified information to WikiLeaks, an organization that's not as popular among many Americans as it used to be. Chelsea Manning is having an awful time in prison, has reportedly undergone several suicide attempts, and is living in solitary confinement. Is that a case that you think is ripe for some kind of presidential dispensation? I guess pardon's not appropriate because it's military, but some form of clemency.
Well, I think many people feel that clemency of some sort, that is to say a reduced sentence, would be appropriate in Chelsea Manning's case. The document dump there was much less discriminate than Snowden's. There was some wrongdoing revealed, but there was a lot of just governmental correspondence that was revealed, diplomatic cables that didn't have any particular public interest. And I think it's important to recognize that Chelsea Manning also was not allowed to present a public interest defense. She was never allowed to explain why she did what she did, because she was charged with espionage, just like Snowden is currently charged with espionage. So given the limited trial that she received, it does seem appropriate for Obama to step in with some kind of clemency, because really the book was thrown at Chelsea Manning. She got an incredibly long prison sentence, something that is really atypical for the way any Western government typically responds to this kind of crime.
With this next presidency beginning and a campaign that saw Donald Trump, let's go down the list, called for bombing the families of terrorists as a way to discourage them, has advocated a return of waterboarding and torture, although maybe he's backed off that now, although it's hard to tell. I know that you're going to have a busy time, but existentially, what are your next 4 years going to be like?
I mean, I'm very concerned about this rise of populism, not just in the United States, but around the world. And we see various leaders like Trump who claim to speak in the name of the majority and who seem to see rights as somehow an obstruction of the majority's will. You know, we're afraid of terrorism, so let's torture people. We're afraid of migration, so let's violate the rights of Syrian refugees. You know, you can go down the line. If we really are going to bomb the families of ISIS, if we're really going to join with Assad as he targets civilians in Aleppo, these are all, you know, disasters from a human rights perspective. And I worry about the long-term health of not only American democracy, but of democracy around the world, when so important a figure as the American president is so cavalier about violating rights.
How much of that fear is tangible for you versus sort of just a disgust with political rhetoric? I mean, as a person who monitors real human rights violations, so far these are rhetorical. The president hasn't taken office yet. So how tangible is this for you?
Well, it has become tangible in other countries that are following a similar path. If you look at, for example, the role of Viktor Orban in Hungary or Jaroslaw Kaczynski in Poland or for that matter, you know, Erdogan in Turkey, these are people in power who are pursuing very similar politics, adopting very similar rhetoric, and are making mincemeat out of democracy. They're undermining the checks and balances on executive authority. They are treating rights as something that are utterly dispensable if their view of the majority will is going to prevail. And so, you know, we've seen where this can go. It's rule of the strongman. And this is not something where, frankly, I want America to go. And it's not someplace where I really want, you know, most of the rest of the world to go either.
Kenneth Roth is executive director for Human Rights Watch. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.